Welcome to Inside Out with Chris and Katie. These conversations are here to activate, stretch, and take you to your edges.
This is your invitation to ditch the comparison and step forward with congruence and commitment to the life you want to live.
Come play in our worlds and our minds
as we navigate our 30s on totally different timelines.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Inside Out with Chris and Katie. We are very excited Yahoo! To have you guys here. And we are speaking into today confidence, self-trust, all the things around it. And I think that will expand into a bit of self-love. So talk to me, Katie. What do you got?
Yeah, I love this. I love this so much because I think that it's so easy and we see it all the time, right? Where it's like self-love this and like run yourself a bubble bath and like take yourself on a date. And self-love definitely is all of those things. And it really comes back. Like it always comes back further, right? Like I think that when you think about self-love and self-confidence, you see it portrayed so much on social media and like just portrayed in life, right? And particularly in like movies and films and stuff like that, where it's from the perspective of, oh, she's always been like that. And it's just not fucking true.
Absolutely not. And I think that like self-love and self-care ultimately get so confused. And women from the social constructs of society have literally built this internal driver that self-care looks like getting our hair done, going to the hairdressers. Like I know as a mum, mums will go, I'm going to the hairdressers. This is my ultimate moment of self-love, right? But it's fucking not. You're literally just doing the thing so that you look a certain way, so that you look, you know, you're socially acceptable and that makes sense to you, right? It's actually just self-care. Like you're doing part elements that to stay in order and to stay a certain way, getting your eyebrows waxed. Like that's not enjoyable. That's not an act of self-love. Getting your eyebrows done is fucking horrible. I cry. I do not like it. I am someone that has a high pain tolerance and the eyebrow waxing situation is not great.
You crack me up. And you're so fucking right though. I feel like, yeah, it's hazy, right? There's a hazy line there. And an act of self-love looks vastly different from one person to the next. And so for somebody, yes, going and getting your hair done may be an act of self-love, absolutely. But if that's something that you're doing all the time and it's just like that's part of your normal routine and it's like that's not, it just feels like it's maintenance, right? Like it's,
yes.
And then you think about this from the context of, okay, well, it's those seemingly small and insignificant things that build up and it's that compounding effect, as is everything in my opinion. However, what's the thing that you really want to do that you haven't done or that you're not doing? Like that is self-love. Answering that little call within you, that is fucking self-love in my books. And that's when life gets to be really fucking fun because you give yourself the permission to want the things that you want.
Yeah, absolutely. In the 21-day wellness reset program that I've run over the last couple of years, the girls in that will know there's a whole, there's 21 self-love challenges, right? So you get to pick one every single day, whatever you feel into, like what feels good for you. And my favorite one in there is running a bath in the middle of the day with a glass of red wine with no shame, no guilt, nothing attached, and actually just soaking into the bath and enjoying that time for you and enjoying the taste of the wine and enjoying how it makes you feel. Like I know, especially with alcohol and things, we can get stuck in that escapism feeling of connecting and loss of connection to self, right? So we're drinking alcohol to escape from the kids and it's like, it's been a hard day, grab a bottle on the way home sort of thing. But actually like alcohol can be such a beautiful way to like honor yourself in time when you want to just like be within your body and connect to yourself, right? And doing that in the middle of the day where normally would be like go, go, go and hustle and busy. That is just such a nice way I have personally found to connect to myself and just take a breather, right? And don't go out and like drink the bottle. I'm not encouraging that whatsoever, but just like honor yourself and honor something that you actually enjoy doing just for you, not in the format of escapism or not in the format of social standards, right? When we go out and we feel like we have to drink, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, it's like, again, it looks so different for so many people, right? But I think it's, yes, honoring yourself and like honoring those wants and desires. But more than anything, I really think it's being present. Mm-hmm. Like it's honoring the human experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like self-love is for the woman that's navigating a really hard, challenging time in her life. And again, this is personal opinion. Self-love in that moment when shit is fucking hitting the fan, or you're like processing like grief or sadness or hurt or fear, whatever it might be, self-love can be holding those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Self-love can be honoring yourself in that perspective and sitting with yourself and going, okay, I'm just going to be really present in this. Yeah. I'm not going to throw this to the side. I'm not going to throw it into the back of my psyche. I'm actually going to be present and hold myself through this. And that is a fucking act of self-love.
I absolutely agree with you. And just like fully honoring yourself in the moment and connecting to self in presence is so important. And it is an act of self-love. Like, you can do all the things. You can be meditating every day, breath work. You can be doing your gym sessions and stuff. But if you're not actually being present with you and embodying that self-love, right? Like fully embodying that, then you're not going to feel that you love yourself. You're not actually acting from a place of self-love. You're just acting from a place of servicing your, like, your needs, your maintenance sort of thing, like the things that you think you should be doing.
Absolutely. As well as like on that as well, it's like with the breath work and the meditation and all the things, why the fuck are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you doing it out of a sense of obligation or this is what I should be doing? Because if that's the case, like, that's not going to fucking work. And if you're doing it out of the, oh, this is what the people that I admire on Instagram do, again, that's not going to fucking work. Like, it's just taking you further and further away, again, from your own wants and desires and needs in that present moment. It's like self-love is asking yourself, what do I need right now? And how can I give that to myself? Like, that is ultimately self-love. What do I need right now? And how can I give that to myself? And honestly, like, for the people listening, sometimes it's not fucking nice. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes what you need right now is to be fucking hard on yourself, is to go, okay, hang on. It's time to pull my head in here. I need to get, like, this is, I've identified this, or this is happening, or I'm looping, or I'm doing this again. All right, I've had enough. How am I actually going to change it? That is self-love. It's self-responsibility and self-accountability to being like, okay, no, I'm in fucking control. What's my next step? Like, that is self-love. Self-love is also having the bath in the middle of the day. It is also going to the gym and being like, all right, I'm fucking here. Let's go. Like, let's give it everything I've got. Self-love is like sitting down and being present with your cup of coffee. It's like sleeping in, or it's getting up early so you can have that time before the house is chaotic, right? Like, this is, I think, the thing that we really need to start to shift is it's whatever you need it to be and whatever you choose it to be. But then you've got to think about the energy and the intentionality behind the choice. And that's going to determine whether or not you get that little love hit or whether you just feel empty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, babe. Let's talk into self-trust.
Yeah. So I think that this is something I'm really leaning into. Again, I feel like I say it every fucking episode, but like, just moved across the country. Yeah. So like, Katie's got her big girl pants on, guys.
Yeah.
And a huge thing for me, and this, I like was consciously aware that it was going to be a huge thing for me on the journey to being here. And then of course, anchoring in being here on the Gold Coast is trusting and feeling safe with myself, with my decisions, trusting that I know what's right for me and leaning into it and fully fucking embodying it. And the biggest thing, and honestly, it's the same with confidence. I feel they go hand in hand. It really is this like beautiful like entanglement, those two things, in my opinion.
Mm.
It's giving yourself evidence that you have actually got you, that you can do it, that you've got your own back. Like, that's what self-trust is. It's going, okay, I told myself that I would get up and go to the gym. And I woke up and I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to go. So I just snoozed my alarm and I went back to bed. And then I woke up, and then when I was feeling sluggish, blah, 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 I broke that promise to myself. And again, you got to think about the intentionality behind it. If you're setting the alarm to get up and go to the gym to please other people or for external validation, not the same vibe, right? But if you're like, no, this is something that I really want, then fucking do it.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking from, a recent experience where I made a decision in my family for one of the kids, where in the past I wouldn't be able to make that decision, right? And I would have leaned into the decision and put it out to everyone externally that needed to approve the decision before I could say, cool, so we're going to do this and go and sort it out. I made the decision. I went, this isn't okay intuitively. I'm not comfortable with this as a parent. I'm not going to allow this to happen and continue to happen, right? And I made that call, and that was with complete self-trust and complete knowing that I could execute that thing. Like, the evidence spoke to me knowing and feeling that that was the best thing to do in the circumstance. And also in the past, the unknown of, oh, how will someone react? What if this happens? What if this happens, right? And that's me, where I loop in the past and constantly go through that like anxious cycle. of self-doubt and the what ifs. And I pulled it in, like pulled those fucking reins in and was like, absolutely not. I'm not okay with it going any other way. And if people don't like that, that's not my problem. Like something I'm saying to myself a lot internally at the moment, like not my monkeys, not my fucking monkeys. Like they're not on my back, not my problem. Like I have to just put up that wall sometime to be like, this is not my monkeys. Like, and I've decided that in a lot of areas. And because I have that self-trust, just again, how we do one thing is how we do the other. How you commit to yourself is how you commit in other areas. And how I did that one thing then mapped across in other areas of my life, right? It then directly impacted other elements and my decision-making and all my indecision or inactions that I was creating. And it was like drew the sword and was like, cool, so this happened here. And then suddenly I made all these other decisions around things that in the past, and when I'm saying in the past, it's like 3 months ago that I was allowing or creating to be a problem or be something that I couldn't make a decision on my own on. But I've navigated that with that first action, like that intentional decision to come from a place of self-trust. And absolutely. Yeah.
And I think as well, it comes back again to the compounding, right? It has to be like, make it small, make it itty bitty, so fucking tiny. Make it like, I'm going to drink X amount of liters of water today.
Yeah.
Prove to yourself that you can fucking do it. Like that's how you build self-trust. It's coming through with your word. It's saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then it's actually doing the fucking thing. Like, and it's like, again, what's behind it? What's the intentionality behind it? Are you doing that thing to please others, or are you doing it to please yourself, or to like, is it in alignment with your values and what you want out of life? And I think this is why it's so important that people actually know who they are and people actually know or have like a rough fucking framework of where they're going. What's their North Star? What's like, what are they leaning into? Because when you know that, then you can go, okay, what are the micro habits of that person and how do I show that that is something that I can actually do and be. And then it's the same. It's think, do, be. Like think it. And this is where most people fucking stop. They don't actually do it because they go, oh, no, I'm not ready. Oh, no, but like, I'll do that when. Like, fuck
off. I love the not ready. I love not being ready.
Just do the fucking thing, right? And like, we're all guilty of it. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that I never do it. I do it all the fucking time. I'm just way more aware of it now and I can catch myself and go, oh, hang on. I just need to do it. Like I trust myself to do the thing. And guess what, guys? The more you do the thing, you eventually become the thing. So it's like, okay, you get this vision of what you want. What are all those little micro habits? Great. How can I pull just one or two of those out and implement it into my day right now? Like don't fucking overwhelm yourself. That's not going to work. Like make it so fucking achievable and then celebrate that achievement as if you just fucking won the lottery. Like all out, like hell yes, I did that. Because these are the moments we want to anchor into. As awful as it is, we're like fucking dogs. Like you've got to praise that positive behavior, right? Whether it's in your fucking children or your partner or your friendships, like most importantly with yourself. Self-trust is built by following through.
Yeah. Our unconscious mind loves repetitive behavior. Like it loves you to repeat the thing over and over again until it's been received, right? So trusting that the more often you do something, the easier it's going to get. Like totally agree. Can't agree more.
I think as well with when you think about self-trust, I think a lot of it, what we're essentially talking into is habits, right? And when we think about habits, there's a really simple structural framework that a habit follows. There's a stimulus, there's a loop, like the behavior, and then there's the result. So if you're currently indulging in habits that you know don't serve you, what's the stimulus? What's the thing that makes you go, like, what happens just before you do the behavior that leads to the result, right? And so, for instance, it might be that you snooze. So it's like your alarm goes off, you roll over, and you hit snooze. So the alarm goes off is the stimulus. The rollover is the behavior, or like the reach for the phone, and then turning it off is the result. Put your phone on the other side of the fucking room. The behavior's changed.
Yeah, 100%.
You break the loop. You break the habit. Yeah. It's like, and this is how we start to, I guess, like short circuit those habits that are already in place. And again, it's repetition, like consistently showing yourself, no, okay, I can do this. And when you don't do it, meet yourself with compassion and be like, oh, okay, whoops, fucking forgot that was important to me. Oh, that's right. I feel really great when I do that. It's like,
yeah,
it's It's so fucking simple. Like, we overcomplicate it so much. Like, even this morning, like, Chris and I have already been on the phone today. But, like, this morning, when I was driving into the gym, I was just like, okay, like, who am I showing up as today? What's the version of me that I'm really going to amplify and show up as today? And I was like, well, I've got a bit on today. Like, big girl's got a bit going on today. So I'm like, right, well, I'm a fucking hard worker. I know that much. And I almost, this is the, like, cheeky cook shit that I do in my head, right? Because I fucking noticed even as I was driving in, I was like, fuck, I can't believe I just said that because now I have to follow through. But I was driving to the gym, right? And I just told myself that I'm a hard worker. And I was like, okay, well, what's the thing that I like want to do but am avoiding doing? And it's like, I really want to get back into running. And I'm like, oh, like I'm feeling a bit sluggish where I'm at in my cycle. Like, I won't do that today. And I was like, fucking prove. Yeah. Fucking prove that you're a hard worker, Katie Walker, and get on that fucking treadmill. Like, honestly, and I feel so fucking good because I proved to myself that I'm a hard worker. So my day today is going to flow with ease because I've already proved to myself that I'm a hard worker. I've already proved to myself that I can do hard things. Came home, got in a cold shower. I was like, fuck, do I really have to do this? Like, this is ridiculous. Got in anyway. Prove to yourself that you do the hard things. And then the hard things become easier. Like, you're laughing at me so hard.
I'm laughing at you because... when she stayed with me a little while ago, I forced her to do an ice bath with me because I have one at home. And for those, actually, just on that, ice baths, for those of you that think that you need to go and buy one of the fancy fucking ice baths to have an ice bath, you don't. You just need to fill your bath up. And I wish someone told me that before I went and bought the thing. So you could just have a bath in your bath. Anyway, Katie, come over. And, she carried on a little bit about
the idea. I carried on like pork chop.
Yeah, but got her in there and she felt great after, right? So, like, it's totally worth it. And I actually love cold showers and I love cold ice baths and all those sorts of things. I love the feeling at the end. Like, I'm addicted to that adrenaline feeling at the end. So, for me, it's just like doing that is so simple for me because I've done it for so long and it's just a non-negotiable and not really a thought around it. I just do it in the shower. If my hair's getting wet, it's cold. Like, that's just the deal I made with myself. And I think commitment to self, like, don't break promises. Your word, honoring your word is how you honor someone else's word. Like, when did you decide that someone else's word was so much more important than your own? And how can you honor your word right now, today? Honor the words that you say to yourself. Honor what you're going to do, because that's exactly how you will show up if you, you know, in your job, in your relationship. Like, if you're not honoring your own words, I can fucking guarantee you're not honoring your partner. And that already is dysregulation in a relationship. That already is creating conflict in a relationship. That already looks like an unsuccessful relationship or an incongruent one where you don't align and your values aren't aligning because you are not committed to yourself and you are not honoring yourself.
Absolutely. I think as well with this, it's, I'm sure we've spoken about it before, but for those listening that probably aren't aware or don't know much about me, I am single. And Chris is obviously married and is doing all the things, the hair flick on a fucking hell. And I think what's really great and what's really empowering about being single and talking into this particular topic is we have the space and the time to really lean into these practices with self. And I mean, we've heard it all before, right? Like, if you're somebody that's like wanting to call in a partner, then like you write the list of everything you want, you become the list, right? Like, we've heard it, but are you actually doing it? And this is something that, like, I had a bit of a reality check with a couple of months ago. I was like, okay, like, this is what I want. I have to be that list. And I wasn't actually doing it. And like, again, it comes back to that like commitment to self. And something that I value more than anything, like genuinely more than anything, is communication. Open, deep communication, being able to hold another in that level of depth and hold myself. And I have in the past never been somebody to journal. Like, I've been very much an internal processor, right? Which is fine if that's where you're at, you know, on your journey. However, I think there is a point we get to where it's like, fuck, this is so beneficial for me to get all of this out of my brain onto paper, to witness it, to hold it, to sit in this energy, to process it like in a healthy, productive way.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like going on about my life and never flexing that communication skill. I think that's really important. So if you're single and you're listening to this, know that this is a fucking amazing opportunity for you to better connect with yourself and for you to do exactly what we're saying. Build this self-trust, like build this congruency with self. And obviously if you're in a relationship, it's super important and you need to carve that time out. But when we're single, we've got a bit more time, right?
And on that, in a relationship, like a common theme I think that you might have experienced as well is like women coming to you, and I'm having this with clients where they're coming to you being like, I'm on a self-discovery journey, right? I'm doing all this stuff and he's staying still. He's not moving. He's not growing. Okay, hold on a second. But are you actually changing? Are you actually moving? Like, what are you actually doing in yourself to then connect with him? And if he wants to stay, if like when for a man, like when they're happy with who they are, and that's actually okay for them. Like they're embodied, they're in like full in congruence with themselves and committed to themselves, and they honor their word because they're happy with who they are. If you're wanting to change who you are, like give them the permission to remain the same and find your way that connects to them. Like having that self-trust, like have a look at speaking to self-trust again. Are they in full commitment to themselves? Because they have self-trust. So how can you look at them and go, hold on a second, actually, I can utilize that energy with my partner because he's already embodied in that. An example of that is, you know, a lot of guys I know speak their mind and freely speak their mind and have, you know, strong opinions and things like that, right? And women will be like, oh, I could never say that, or I could never speak my mind like that. Like he's always so brutally honest, right? He has an internal driver and he knows what he wants to say, and he is unapologetic, shame-free, guilt-free to speak his truth and his mind, right? He actually carries the self-trust that you're yearning for. He actually carries and honors that commitment to self, the thing that you are looking for. He's already got it. So rather than moving away from that and being like, he doesn't want to do the work, he doesn't want to, you know, be on this journey with me, he's done it. He doesn't need to. Like honor that for a second. Like,
yeah, I think it's so interesting. Yeah, for those listening, like I was in a long-term relationship for 13 years. So I know a thing or two about relationships at the same time, right? And I think the biggest thing in relationships that when my clients are talking to me or when I'm having these conversations with women that are, like you say, Chris, on this journey, and they find their partners like continuously doing the same things and all this stuff's playing out, right? I think what's really important to note is, have they always done that thing? That's always my first question. Have they always done that? Have they always like left things lying around, or like did this or did that, like these small seemingly insignificant things, right, that like it just snowballs and they're almost always like, yeah, he's always been like it, like he's always done this and he's always done that. I'm like, cool, well that's the man that you're married then, babe, well done. Like it's not on you to change them. Yeah. It's not on you to change them. It's on you to focus on you. And through that journey of self-discovery and self-trust, all the things that we're speaking into, then it's on them to go, oh, maybe I can start to clean a little bit of this up within myself as well. You don't get to tell them to do it. We don't get to tell anybody to do it. And you like only get to do it for you.
The likelihood that that's what attracted you to them in the first place, maybe the chaoticness of them, maybe that they challenged you, maybe that, you know, they were so transparent and so brutally honest. Like that's all of the personality traits that you fell in love with. Like reminding yourself of that chaotic mess of a man maybe is what you fell in love with. Like it's already there for you. Like how can you harness and honor yourself and commitment to self by honoring the man that still is in front of you?
Absolutely. And I think it's really, Chris and I have been having a conversation around like, I don't even know how to, like, I've been reading the Colleen Hoover books, guys. I've been reading the Colleen Hoover books. Like, how do
I've
read
like 12, so it's I'm already there.
It's essentially like erotic literature, let's be real. And it could be a lot saucier, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, come on, like, can we fucking heat it up a little bit? Give me a bit more detail. But that's so fine. It's so fine. Like, I can source that, you know. However, we were having this conversation around like, oh, okay, women are so, like, and this is a huge generalization, women are so obsessed with it, right? We're obsessed with reading novels like that. We're obsessed with things like 50 Shades of Grey. And like, this is how women want to consume that like erotic expression. Men typically will go to porn. They just want the visual, right? They're like, I just want the visual, give it to me. Whereas we want to fucking drag that shit out, which I mean, map that across to the bedroom, right? Like majority of women want it to be like this slow like journey together. Whereas men are like, again, massive generalization. The men that I've been with in the past haven't been like this, thank fuck. But generalization, men are like, get me in, get me out. Like, I see it, I want it, I got it, goodbye. Again, like, I'm sorry if that is your reality, ladies listening. However, this is like, it's those shadowy elements. That's why we want to lean into it. We read these books and we get so like enthralled in these stories because we want that.
It just goes straight back to the Disney princess time, right? Like, it's watching Cinderella and thinking you needed to find Prince Charming. It's fucking watching Cinderella's story as a teenager and being like, oh, my God, I need to find the popular person that turns and notices me. Like, it just carries through, right, into adulthood where we're still looking to fill that storyline, right, because we've got the thing. Some of us, we've got the thing, so we want to have the story and that journey. And I love reading stories for the fact that it's just takes you on a journey, right? From two people and you fall in love with the characters and it's just like, oh, it's like going to a movie. And in no way, I think now in adulthood, it's not like escapism or anything like that, but it's just a beautiful way to integrate those thoughts and feelings. And then again, map that across to your existing relationship and romanticizing the little moments, romanticizing, you know, in married life, like, it's hard to get a moment together. It's hard to have one-on-one time. It's hard to communicate sometimes when you're so busy and life is so chaotic. So romanticizing the smallest of moments, like maybe just like a makeup session in the car, like after the kids all get out, or, you know, just a cuddle in the kitchen while you're cooking dinner, like actually like do that, the micro moments to support the macro goal.
100%. I think it comes back to that, like, what are you craving in this moment, and how can you bring it into reality right now? It's the same thing when we talk about like that self-trust and that self-vision, right? You've got this vision. Okay, what are the micro habits that are going to support that macro goal in me becoming that person, whether it's like looking after your health or doing the fucking work in your business or doing the work on yourself, whatever it is. That same thing that we've spoken about on this episode applies to relationships. It's like, okay, I want this like beautiful relationship that I'm reading about in this novel, or I want this like this spice or this like energy, this like charisma surrounding my relationship. Yay, fucking great realization, babe. Who the fuck doesn't want that? Go and do it. Like, go and do it. What does it look like? Does it look like a little pinch on the bum and a little like sneaky kiss on the neck or a nibble on the ear when you're in the kitchen while you're like, you're doing like brekkie for the kids? And this is like, you're laughing, Chris, but the thing is, nibble on this, the ear. Like, I think about, the audience is quickly
getting to know you,
coming at you. They're like, who is this girl? I think the thing is, though, it's like getting in the habit of doing these like all the time. And I think it's easy. And this is from, again, I don't have children myself. And this is through conversations with my friends that do have kids. I've got a lot of friends with kids. From the perspective of, oh, no, but we don't want to be doing that. Don't do it in front of the kids. Don't do that in front of the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying fucking have sex in front of the children. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying pull that love, that energy, that like spice, that like flirtatious vibe in front of the kids, because you're fucking teaching them what to expect from their relationships. Yeah. And I'll be fucking damned if I'm settling for like bland and boring, you know? And I didn't necessarily see that in my parents growing up, but I would see it when I go to my like girlfriend's house and have a sleepover and see like her parents being like flirty and cheeky with each other and just being like, oh my God, I just fucking love how much your parents love each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so healthy because kids might be around when there's little conflicts or, you know, discussions that become heated and they experience that. So they seriously need to witness the beauty in the relationship too, and the makeup and the love that happens after the fact. You know what I mean? Like, it's so important, to the point where I have deliberately, when I've had a heavy discussion, right, or there may have been a misalignment of values in the discussion, I have intentionally made up and cuddled and kissed and made out with my husband so that my children could all see that and witness that, right? Because I wanted it to be an experience that they were like, oh, like, especially with kids with blended families and coming from a child of a divorce myself, I didn't witness that with my parents. So I always thought relationships have expiry dates and they have to end, right? And I never want the kids to feel that. They need to know that you can have a fight and it doesn't mean that anyone's leaving or anyone's breaking up. They need to know that you can disagree on a topic and it doesn't have to be that we have the same opinion at the end of the day. We could still love each other, right? It has to be that you can see two adults compromising and finding a solution and an outcome that works for the majority of everyone rather than just one person. And it's such a healthy dialogue to create in a family, especially a blended family. For the stepmoms listening, you get to choose to create that. Like, if you can create that with intention and just that gentle reminder that that is what they need to see and hear, especially with little people growing up in a blended family, like, it can be so alarming when parents have a disagreement at any level for children that have two homes. They can feel, oh no, that means they're going to split up. Like, unconsciously, yeah. Unconscious mind-body connection, they might feel anxious, they might cry, they might not even say anything, they just might go quiet, right, and go to their rooms, but they feel and think that this means that it ends.
Yeah.
And they don't want to feel that. It's not safe, right? So making sure that they're experiencing and witnessing that romantic side in your relationship is actually so healthy for them to see.
Absolutely. And then you think about, particularly with children, and you think about that 0 to 7, those imprint years where they really are this sponge and we're really programming into that like computer mind of theirs. We're programming in what to expect. And then this does map back across into that self-trust, because this is what you're showing them. You're showing your children, if you have them, or if, like, I'm an auntie and I'm an like adopted auntie to many of my friends' children. But I think about it from the perspective of you're actually showing them that it's okay to speak your truth. It's okay to have a disagreement. It's okay to have like a some form of conflict or some form of like friction in a relationship. And it's okay to express that love and gratitude as well. Like, it's actually okay to do both, because I think it's so easy to see. Yeah. Like you said, like with blended families, like, it's so, they've got the evidence of it being the other way.
That it ends, right? Yeah.
That it ends. Yeah. So you're showing them the evidence of no, this is healthy. This expression is healthy. It's healthy to move through things. And when I say conflict, like, it's a conversation, right? Like, I refuse to hold the belief that arguments are something that happens in relationships. If people are on that frequency, that's all you, go for it. But I have evidence that arguments aren't normal part of a relationship. So that's what I'm holding on to. Yeah. And because it stems back from that healthy, open communication. And like, if you've got the healthy, open communication, you can communicate before it becomes an argument.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And communication is, it's the same way, like, for my older two kids, I have a disagreement with them and explaining to them, like, if I have a disagreement with you, what do you expect? Well, I know that you love me and I know that, like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, cool. So that's the same, like, that is the same evidence that you need to utilize when I have a disagreement with someone else, right? Or there's that conflict of communication, or there's a misalignment of values. Like, it's actually okay to have that, because we have that everywhere in life, whether it be our career, our relationships with our friends, just everywhere and anywhere. You could have it with the Telstra guy on the phone, right? When they witness that, like, and witness also you coming from a place of forgiveness and love after the fact, it can just bring so much more awareness into their sphere and into their ability to know, okay, it's actually okay for me to disagree with my friend. It doesn't mean I don't love her. Like, at 10, 12, like, it's actually okay to hold a boundary, right, and honor myself. It's totally cool for me to do that, because I'm witnessing my parents doing that in so many other areas.
Yeah. And it's, again, it doesn't even, it will just become second nature to kids. That's the thing here. Like, if you've got children, you're in such a powerful position. And I was having a conversation with a random old guy on the beach the other morning after my meditation. It was so adorable. He was so here for a chat. And he was asking me, he's like, the conversation got going and it got onto children and like the next generation. And he's like, how do we, get them to love themselves and get them to like be respectful and to hold and respect boundaries. And I said to him, I was like, we just have to show them. Like, it's actually really fucking simple. We overcomplicate everything. We actually just show them. We show them that it's okay. And no longer is it setting a boundary, in inverted commas. It just is that way.
Yeah.
People are just in tune with themselves enough to be able to say no. And people are safe in themselves enough to be able to receive a no and know that it doesn't mean anything about them. Like, fuck, we take things personally. Stop taking things so personally. It's not all about you, babe.
But it is.
It is, paradoxically, as always.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Katie, for your wise words. As always, you are a wizard. And we're going to wrap this episode up now, but we will see you guys next week. Make sure that you leave us a quick written review, because that will really help us to support more women on this journey of self-discovery to self-mastery.
Yay, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, guys.